Father, we just welcome you into this house. We just love every aspect of you. We pray today that we have a newer understanding of who you are, just a little more of an understanding of how good you are, just a larger amount of how powerful you are, Lord. We ask for to show a glimpse of your goodness. And I say a glimpse because a larger amount. We want to know how good you are, Lord. We believe you are good, and we believe you love us, and you want the best for us, and you have many amazing plans for us. We're excited to be unlocked in our giftings today, Lord. Thank you for coming with us, Lord, and may your words come through me right now as we speak, Lord, and anything that is not of you, that it just drops to the floor, that it just flops out of our ears onto the ground and just disappears into the carpet, Lord. We just ask for all the stuff that is good, that it sinks into our hearts and it goes from our head into our hearts, into our spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we had the incredible Brent drop a heavy, powerful, beautiful word about the gift of what Christ went through on the cross, right? And it was heavy, right? It was heavy. You think it was heavy, try carrying it all week like Brent did. I rung him up to check on him, and I broke down as he was telling me about what he was going through that week, because he was carrying the cross for that week so that we would experience what he was going through. So I said, God, what do you want to talk about today? And this week, and where we want to go from here. And he's like, well, you know what I did for you on the cross. Let's go into why I did it and what that means for us. So moving on from there, okay? So I decided to call it The Walk. There's not going to be any slides or anything like that. I'm going to get into some of the word. I'm going to uncover some stuff, because my role on a Sunday, I can't stuff you full of theology or my belief systems or what we think is true and all that sort of stuff. It's irrelevant. What we're here to do is, I'm here to do is ask you to open up your perception of who God is, how much he really loves you, and what does that make us? What does it mean for us in this situation, right? And how can we help? How can we team with him? So that's my aim, is just to maybe... And to give you a bit of a background, so for those who don't know me or you're new to the church, I'm very new to this. One of the blessings is I don't have a whole bunch of baggage from Christianity that I bring into my walk, but I still have baggage. It's just not bad theology, you know? It's just not terrible church stuff that has gone on, you know? For some of you, there has been a lot of that, and there's a lot of church hurt. In fact, it's probably one of the number one things that's been happening in the body of Christ is church hurt. You might get church hurt in this church. I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee anything, right? You might have I don't like what they said there, and that's it. You might have that from this church too. We all have that, right? They have the potential for that. This is just a place where people meet. It's not God's fault if that happens. That's people's fault, yeah? So I don't have a background of bad churches or hard churches or even good churches that had one little bad thing, and I've decided, God, I don't like him anymore because this bad thing that happened when I was in church one day. We're sorry for anything that has happened in the past, and we're not beating up church here. I'm just saying I don't have that baggage. But I still have my own concept of when I came to Christ not long ago, and I still was like, he's this big, mean, angry, whatever, you know? So we come into our walk, which is what I'm calling this series. We're calling it The Walk. It's a walk with Christ, right? Walk means movement. We're taking one step in front of the other. And some people walk fast, some people walk slow. Every now and again, we might stop for a breather, and we might walk. Some of us might take a step back or two, but that's okay. We'll keep walking forward again. So it's about the walk, and what does that mean for us? So this thing keeps freezing on me. I need to turn the timer off. Keita, can you have a look at my, go into my settings just to make sure that doesn't turn off? So my walk doesn't have that sort of baggage involved, but all of us come in with a framework. We come into our walk with Christ, and even some of us that have been with him 30 years, there's potentially stuff that we've picked up and believed over time that is actually holding us back in how good he is, And I'm not out of that category either. I'll give you an example, because I talk about intimacy with Father, right? It's about relationship with the Father, and I'm real big on that. And yet, I was hanging out with, we're about to hang out with Benji Alexander a week ago, name dropping, and at a barbecue, and John Stephans was telling me all about some stories, because he's known him right through his whole walk, or most of it. And he said when Benji was young and he just started out in the church, he would go to the church at 4 a.m. and he would sit in the presence of God and pray for 5 hours before the church service started, just as, I don't even think he was ministering. I don't think he just wanted to do that. That was who he was. And I thought, you know what? I couldn't imagine doing that. That sounds like a lot to me. That sounds full on. And by the way, I'm not saying this is how you should do it. This was his compulsion to do that, right? This is not, you're not bad and sinning because you're not doing that, or you're not a crappy Christian because you didn't do this. What I'm saying is that I was like, oh, I'd love to be a kind of person that could do that. So I had this conversation with Holy Spirit going, okay, why do I have an issue with that? And then I realized, and he kind of, it hurt a little bit, because he was like, well, you don't trust me enough to spend 5 hours with me. And I'm up here preaching to you, yeah, make sure you have a relationship with God, right? And I'm like, and I realized I didn't trust him enough. You know, it could be like, what if he changes me and I don't want to be changed? What if I end up this religious weirdo because I've had this amazing encounter? And I end up all this kind of crazy person that's running around and annoying people all day long. Like some of you guys do, you know? Like, that's the thing, right? I was scared about what would happen. Or, what if I'm bored for 5 hours and it's horrible? I'm just as scared of that. Or, what if I'm with him and he turns out to be not as good as I thought? Seriously, though. What if you are worried to spend time in the Word because you're going to hear something that's going to hurt you and go, oh, I thought you were this, but actually I'm a bit worried you're actually a bit of an angry, you know what I mean? Or you're not as nice as you were. So I'm just, is this good stuff?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to change the soil so he can plant a seed that is amazing. Because there is a change coming on. If you've seen the latest prophecy from Alistair, we're moving into a new season. Church might look different. Is that okay? You know, some won't like that. Some don't want to come with that. And where we're going could be a little bit scary as a church. So this is why I'm laying this foundation. I'm wanting to talk about the walk and at first just lay a bit of a foundation into that. So I'm going like, 5 hours. Far out. Now, he's not saying you need to spend 5 hours, but he's using it as a point. It's just an example for us to go, well, who do we think he is? And so I'm pushing into that now and going, well, actually, I want to be a person that can't wait to spend 5 hours with you in the presence of God. Now, people have kids. People have lives. It doesn't have to be on your heart to do that. There's all sorts of times, right? Right now we have a little dog. It's about all we've got to worry about, right? So I could possibly just take some time off and just be like, I'm just going to go spend some time with God in an amount like that. So that's just to give you an example. So our walk with God, and I called it the walk, and we're growing into the fullness. We're growing into the fullness of who we are. So the end result is not a wimpy church. Do you know what I mean? It should be a powerful body of Christ. We should have authority and dominion, like it says in Genesis. We are created to have dominion. And yet, you know, we sit in churches and go, I hope someone does something about that, you know? And I'm not here to beat us up either, because, I mean, I'm just as guilty. Like, oh, I'm really excited when someone finally rises up and does something. It'll be great. So it requires, a walk requires movement, okay? It's 1 foot in front of the other, yeah? You try doing 2 steps in a row with the same foot. It's a bit awkward. When I was in the army and we used to learn how to march. And so often when people were learning to march, you'd think it would be easy because we're just walking, but in time. It's not easy, bro. It is hardcore. It's hilarious. And because we're supposed to walk with the left foot shoots out when you say, by the left, quick march. By the left, meaning your left foot. By the left. You'd probably start marching, the soldiers in the room. Quick march. And the left foot would shoot out. That's what we would train it to do. We'd let always with the left foot. Because we have to step off to be in the same as each other. We have to have the same foot stepping off. And we would step off to march and we go, and we would do left, you know, left, eight, left, eight. That's what it would sound like, really weird. In America, it's just weird noises. And some would be left, right, left, right, left, right. Depending on who was calling it. And so, but that's what we would do. We would march in time together, left, right. That's what we're doing. As a body of soldiers, we are walking in our walk. And the walk is not, okay, you're saved now, you should be all perfect, everything should be awesome. It's a walk. It's endurance. He wants us to walk with him this entire time. Sometimes we'll walk fast, sometimes we'll walk slow, sometimes we'll stagger. But the funny thing was with marching, when you shoot your left foot forward, you're supposed to also shoot your right arm forward so that because you walk like that, right? Normally, you would walk, whenever you walk down the road, you just naturally walk, you would balance. Your arm would do the opposite of your leg. No one's thought about this, right? Because this is how it works. If you try doing it the other way, it's weird. It looks like this. I'll show you. You ready? It's called goon marching. That looks weird, right? Some of us are walking like that. You know? I sometimes walk like that. It's not cool. It doesn't look good. And it doesn't feel right. It's really weird, right? So it's called goon marching. And so you'll have the instructor yelling out. I won't say the words because back this is in the 90s when we were being trained up. And so they were allowed to use whatever words they wanted. So you can imagine with your colourful imagination what those words would be. But it would be something, I won't say any of the words, don't worry. Don't get nervous. Sort it out, lady, stop goon marching. You'd have all this stuff yelled at you because there'd be someone in there, you know, it'll be like, Johnson, get your bloody head right. You'd get all this stuff getting yelled out. So anyone outside's going, what is going on in this church? What is going on? And so, because you'd always have some idiot that just starts goon marching, and then the whole line of us would all start going, oh, what's happening? And it would just go on down the line, wouldn't it? And the whole thing would fall apart. And, oh, it's so funny. Anyway. So that's marching. So they get you marching, and it's a lot of training in marching. There's so much involved in that. So our walk with God, we need to know who he is. And all of us think, yeah, I know him. And what else? Yeah, but I know who he is. And I know I don't really know fully how good he is or who he really is. I mean, who he is getting exposed to me more and more. And the more I get to know who he is, he's always better than I thought he was. He's always more loving. He's always way more merciful and gracious. When I think he's going to punish me and he's going to condemn me because I was a naughty boy, he comes back and says, I love you. And I'm like, I'm worthy of punishment here. I'm worthy of something to go wrong. And he says, I always choose love over correction. I choose love over correction. So when we know who he is, then we can understand who we are, and we trust him more. We'll fight for him more. We'll be more like soldiers if we're like, yeah, I'm with you. I am with you, Lord. So it's up to us to try and do that. We get in the word. We figure them out. We pull it apart. We're like, tell me more about who you are. Let the Holy Spirit come and tell you, give you wisdom and revelations about who you really are, Lord. So I've got a question for you. What would your life look like if you lived out of every moment, this is on this world, of the rest of your life in this life, knowing you are a son of the King of Kings? You are royalty. No longer trapped as a victim, but walking in victory. Walking in victory. Just say to the person next to you, I'm walking in victory. Just turn to them right now. I am walking in victory. Come on. Not because of what we did. Does that feel weird? You can tell there's Kiwis in this room, eh?
I'm walking in victory. I'm walking in victory. So yeah, that's it. Powerful. You might need to say it a few more times, you know, to get it in that spirit. But come on, he knows it. You know it, don't you, brother?
When I came to Christ, one of the things I was excited. I'm like, right. So where are my soldiers at? You know, I'm like, because I realized God was, he was real. I didn't know who he was, but I knew he was real. I knew he loved me. Didn't know why. I knew he. I had an encounter. I knew who he. I didn't know who he was. I knew he was all powerful, and that was enough for me. I didn't know what salvation was. I was just like, sign me up. Based on that, it was all I needed. I didn't need to have all the salvation story and all that stuff involved. I wasn't worried about that. All I knew was I just want to follow the King. So if you're the King, I'm following you. Right or wrong, I'm following you. And let's just walk this journey out, right? And I want to know where the power and the authority is, yeah? And there's a season for everything. When we first came to Christ, man, we were beaten up. And we went into a merciful time with God, trying to figure out who he was, as we were trying to fight through a certain season. And that season was brutal. But we had a prophecy saying, I've got many plans for you. I've got great plans for you. And so, and it was an actual prophecies from people. The power of prophecy, guys, the power of prophecy. You hold on to those prophecies. You see, God has never lied. He will hold on to his promises, and he'll guarantee those promises for you. So I'm excited about where we're going to go to, but we need to know where we are right now. So we had Easter this time, and I know technically it's not the exact day and all that sort of stuff, but we don't care. We can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus anytime, all right? Because that is a powerful, powerful thing that happened. Now, if he did what he did, it wasn't just for salvation. It wasn't just that the victory that came from that. It now entitled, he came, I'll tell you this, I'll skip a bit of stuff, I'll just give you some stuff. So Jesus came to do many things. One of the things was to reveal the Father. Why? It's because of the fake news about our Father. He was sold as this, as purely almighty and judging and harsh. Now that wasn't him that did that. This is religion. Religion does and does that. And that was to do with the situation, with the many covenants, with what had happened from the fall. And so Jesus came to reveal the Father. He says, I come to reveal the Father, right? So if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Now, if you look at his journey, if you want to know who the Father is, we look at what Jesus did while he was here on the earth. Is that pretty amazing? And the other thing he came to do was to fulfill the hundreds of prophecies that were said that for him to fulfill. He came to fulfill them, and you could see that through. If you look at the journey and you go back right through the texts, he fulfilled all those prophecies. The other thing that's cool, he came to tell us of this thing called the kingdom. This is a new thing. And it wasn't one day in the kingdom. It was now. He was establishing his new kingdom. It wasn't a kingdom one day. And I think we need to get that out of our heads. We need to accept that and receive that. That is, you are, if you are a child of God, you are royalty. Because you got adopted by the King to be part of his family. Now, if you're a barista, you're a son of the King or daughter of the King who's making coffee. Now, that's a different way to make coffee. There's no victim in there, right? Now, someone who's royal, you're born into royalty, you are treated like royalty, even though you're a baby and you're pooing your nappies, you're still son or daughter of the King, and you're treated that way, and you also carry yourself that way. It's a different way. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves. We are royalty. Now, you can still do anything and be from a place of royalty. So if you know, you walk in, what would it feel like to know you are royalty all day long, everywhere you go, everything you do it as royalty. Isn't that amazing? And he's a King of Kings, not just some throne, not some kingdom where it's some horrible people that have inbred and are some charge of some part of the world and they rule and reign, right? But if you're a king or you're a son of the king, we're born to rule and reign. So let's start with us. He came to create a new covenant or a new doorway, a new way of us having relationship with the Father, because he just wants his children to come home. He wants everyone to come home. He wants everyone to come home. Is this all good? So the cross had to be simple. If we think about what it looks like, it's just two simple pieces of wood and some nails, right? And it had to be simple. Only really clever people would get it. Does that make sense? The kingdom's not just for clever people. In fact, clever people have a hard time getting this thing. Isn't that crazy? That's why I'm surprised Anthony's here. He's so clever. Some people can be so incredibly intelligent and in our heads that we just don't understand the power of God because it has to fit in our minds, and yet the power of who he is almighty, right? And so we have a hard time with our imaginations. So the cross has to be simple so that anybody can get it. Because theology does not save. Did you know that? Eschatology, the study of end times, doesn't save. The Bible doesn't save. It doesn't save. The cross and what happened because of it and what happened 3 days after, amen, gave us the door. That gave us the salvation. It says, now how easy is that? So I'm just establishing a foundation, right? Let's start from really where it begins, right? It starts at Jesus. It starts at Jesus. He is the door, yeah? He is the doorway. And all we have to do is believe in the one who was sent, which is him. So it says in Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's not a big list of stuff to do, is it? Because remember they ask him, well, how do we do this? How do we do this? And he says, I'll say it again. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Congratulations, you're now royal. Yeah, but I just started now. Yep. Same as a baby when it's born into a royal family. It's royal. You've been adopted. And not only adopted, he lovingly adopts you. There's some of the, when you look at some of the you look at the Hebrew and the Latin, and it's just beautiful the way it gives, you know, the words don't just mean one thing, they mean five things, and all the five things are incredible and they're all amazing, and you can't even encompass, because some of the words, especially with Hebrew, it's so weird, so amazing the way that one symbol can mean so many things, and it's all incredible. And that's how much he loved you when you, like, he couldn't wait for you to come to him in the kingdom. So someone here might not have heard that before, and you might have heard that for the first time. You might have just received it for the first time, in fact, because we hear it many times. Often we don't receive things, but we hear it. So maybe that's the time for you. And in John 3:16, the famous, famous verse, right? Everyone hears it and just natters through it. But let's look at it. For God, our Father, so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So it backs it up right there. This is a simple gospel. It's a really simple gospel. So I'm just going to read out some of Ephesians. And I read it. I had it as another version. I had it as NIV. And I decided it wasn't... for me, I just wanted to get the point across a bit stronger. And I love this. And it doesn't matter what test... It's not about the translation. I'm not talking about that. So I decided to give you the Passion Translation because I feel it really unlocks a lot of the beauty. And if you ever read that translation, it does such a great job of pulling out the Hebrew and explaining why they chose this way to say this thing. And it's really quite fun. It's quite fun. And it gives you a lot more of an understanding of what it was like back in the day when a lot of these things were being written and a lot of the context. So this is in Ephesians, right? Ephesians, all preachers love Ephesians. This is beautiful. Every spiritual blessing, this is 3 to 10. Ephesians 1, 3 to 10. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. We could just stop there. Isn't that amazing? All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is where we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. It's crazy, eh? It's hard for us to imagine that he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us. So we are ordained. So that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. There it is. I hope you guys believe it. Through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan, see this unfolding plan? This is like the walk. This is our walk individually as well. Brings him great pleasure. Your walk gives him pleasure. Your walk gives him pleasure. Whether it's you think it's a off track, whether you think it's slow, whether you think it's whatever, your walk gives him pleasure. Isn't that beautiful? Because you choose to walk for him. You might walk badly for him and march like I was marching, but he still loves you. You know, he goes, you're still in my army. Might send you to the front line. He goes, he's really spirited. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. Amen. The total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us. See, it's already working. We don't have to ask it to work. It is working. Whether you follow him really well or not, you are choosing to follow him. He will honor that and he will change you. Releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Love that. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us. The hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax. When God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I thought it'd be just nice to read a different translation just because sometimes it cuts in another angle. It comes in another angle and sometimes it just hits right, you know. So Ephesians, just awesome. And it already starts to talk about our authority. He doesn't just talk about salvation. He talks about our authority. Now this, I believe, is where the church is moving into. We've gone from what we call a church age, right? Which Angela helped me out with earlier. A church age. We're moving into a kingdom age. Just turn to your partner next to you or someone next to you and just say, we're moving into the kingdom age. We are moving into the kingdom age. Amen. Because I've had a gutsful of this world being run by idiots. I have had a gutsful. That's biblical. So he didn't just create a new VIP club, right? It's not like I'm saved, I'm now in the club. That's it, you know? He wants all of his children, say all of his children to be home with him. Amen. Forever. He wants us to rule and reign as his royal children. Do I just feel like it's just right now, we're just releasing a little bit more of that potential to be royal. And we just ask you, Lord, to build our capacity right now to be wonderful stewards of this incredible gift that is a royal gift, to be the son of the king. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be a son of the king. You adopted us. You adopted us joyfully, gleefully into your kingdom. And we're just so thankful for what you did. You went through such lengths to come and get us. You tried and tried and tried. You said for everyone, come up on the mountain with Moses, and they were too scared of you. Well, Lord, thank you to what Christ did for us. We are saying amen to coming up the mountain and becoming priests and kings. We thank you for the kingdom. We thank you that the kingdom is happening. The kingdom is happening, and we are part of that kingdom. We thank you that you are the ruler and the reigner over us. And we just ask for a new impartation of our royalty so that when we walk around and we think of you and when we're in our Bibles and when we're sleeping, that we sleep like kings and queens and princes and princesses of the king. We know that there'll be times where sometimes we don't feel like we're very royal. But we know how good you are, Father. You are so good to David, regardless of how he was as a king when he was powerful and mighty, and other times when he was falling back, you still loved him and you always loved your David. And that we ask that you love us the same way, Lord. We know you do, in fact. We just ask for an acceptance and a realization and a revelation of who we actually are in the kingdom. Right now, I declare over this room, there are new apostolic anointings, that there are new prophetic anointings. There are teachers in this room. There are great shepherds in this room right now who are hearing your voice with a crown laid on their heads. There is great, great ministries to be born out of this room. There is, and the ministries don't have to be just church ministries. These are ministries in our homes, places. We just have dominion over our homes. Spiritually and physically, we have dominion over our homes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So in Genesis, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish and sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It's right there in Genesis. That's his plan. We're just going back to that plan. Jesus, you already did on the cross what we needed, what was needed to be done so that we could rule and reign. And you're simply waiting, like in Romans 8. You are waiting. All of creation is waiting for the revelation of sons. Amen. Come on. So we were designed to rule and reign. With Jesus, we have the authority to take back the world from Satan. Some of us become Satan-focused. We need to be Jesus-focused. I'm talking to me here too. We can get caught up looking at stuff online, all that sort of stuff, you know, and we're seeing what's going on in the world. Don't be worried, because there's always going to be a chess move that God does. It just goes, boom, checkmate. He just does that. That's our God. So we need to, like, stay steadfast. So I'll say to you again, and I'll finish up here. There's different ways we can do this, but I'm just gonna leave you with that, because I feel that's enough. That question I asked at the beginning: what would your life look like if you lived out of every moment of the rest of your life in this life as a son or daughter of the King of Kings, royalty, no longer trapped as victims, but walking in victory, walking in His victory, celebrating in His victory. Amen.